think about this.
Our brains change.
Memory is an amazing.
What you think is in
our
there
brains
is
aren't
really
finished. They're not fully cooked yet.
You go with your heart.
We don't have any idea why
because
we're doing
so smart.
Most of the things that we're doing. But here's the deal.
If you tell me that I'm brilliant, now my goal is to not undo your perception by doing something that would put me in a position where I would show that actually you're wrong.
I'm Bob Duke.
I'm Art Markman.
I'm Rebecca McEnroy, and this is Two Guys on Your Head. Today, a look at praise that can inspire versus praise that inhibits.
So if you look at the work of Carol Dweck and her colleagues, she actually has this comprehensive proposal about the kinds of theories that people have about all sorts of mental skills. And basically, you can either believe that anything that you do is a talent that you're born with, which she calls an entity theory, mm-hmm. because it's a thing. Or you can believe that it's a skill you can acquire, which she calls an incremental theory, because you learn it incrementally over time. And for anything, let's take intelligence. You might believe that intelligence is an entity. It's something you're born with, you've got a particular amount, or you might believe it's incremental, you pick up more of it over time. And it turns out those theories actually have a huge influence on the way that people deal with the world. So for example, one of the questions you could ask is, how do you deal with things being difficult? If you think that difficulty is a sign that you've reached the limit of your talent, then you give up. You're like, that's it. This was too hard for me. I'm done.
You just avoid the situation. Yeah. Right.
But if you believe it's a skill, then you keep at it. You think this is hard. That's a sign I haven't mastered this yet. I've got to do better. Right. And so the theory that you have actually influences all kinds of things about how you deal with the world. And the kind of praise you get actually influences the sort of theory that you end up holding throughout your life.
People are the most adaptable if they believe they can actually take action that will positively affect their circumstances. So if I'm living in an environment where, with the best of intentions, my parents, other loved ones, people whose opinions I respect are telling me that I'm really smart or I'm really athletic or I'm really whatever thing that I care about myself. Musical, right. Then I don't think I really have much to do with that, because I didn't make myself smart in my perception now, because I just am smart, as Art was just saying about entity theory, right? That's just what I am. But if I think that the reason I got to where I am in whatever endeavor is that I actually put forth effort and energy and focus. Well, now I think, if something gets particularly challenging, I just need to put forth a little more energy and effort and focus, and I'll be able to accomplish that.
Right. So now here's the funny part, right? We think praise is a great thing. And if you go back to the 70s and 80s, there was a whole self-esteem movement where the idea was we just have to build people up. You know, if we could just instill that confidence in people, then they'd all be great at
right,
stuff.
Right.
So what do? You start praising to try and build up people's confidence. And the thing is, what are you going to praise? Well, you might say, wow, you're really good at that, you know, which seems like a wonderful thing to say. And now what happens is you come to believe, oh, I have this entity, this thing about me that makes me musical or whatever. And now I hold this entity theory about myself. And there's other ways you could praise. I mean, you could actually catch people working hard at stuff. And when you catch them working hard and then say, wow, that was a lot of work. That was fantastic that you put in all that work on that. What you're praising is exactly the sort of behavior that will lead them to achieve well in the future. And it helps to solidify that link between the effort that you put in and the outcome.
And that is the key. I mean, when you think about building successful children, right, and making their experiences in childhood such that they become successful, productive, flexible adults, it's pointing out to them and having them experience in a way that they recognize that there is a relationship between the extent to which they invest in something and what they get back from it.
But here's the difficulty. We have to make sure that the praise that we give, particularly to kids, actually fits the situation.
Right.
And because kids have finely honed detectors for when they're being fed a pack of lies. Right. And this was actually part of the problem with the self-esteem movement. Right. When you started giving out trophies for participation. I mean, I was a terrible baseball player as a kid, and thankfully I predated a lot of this stuff, so I never got any trophies, and I'm fine with that. If anyone had ever given me a trophy for baseball, I would have said, are you kidding me? What, for best strikeout pose? Well, if you walk up to a kid and say, even if you give the right kind of praise, wow, that was great effort, and the kid didn't put in any effort, you know, that kid's going to be like, okay, you're an unreliable source of information. I'm not going to listen to you. And so even if you praise, if the kid realizes that praise is empty, the kid's not going to listen to you anymore. And then when you finally are praising them for the right thing, they're not listening to that either. I mean, I think the two rules we want people to leave here with are focus your praise on effort and on helping people to understand that there's a relationship between how hard they work and their ultimate level of achievement. And make sure that whatever you praise actually happened, right? Be truthful.
Yes. Yes.
You know, because if you do those two things, then you are maximizing the chance that the praise that you've given will actually have the impact that you want.
And just to add one third item to that, is that when things don't go the way someone wants, you know, our child doesn't win the thing or get the part in the play or get a grade that they expected to get or anything, it's being comforting in a way that redirects their attention to, okay, so now what are we going to do next? What does dealing with failure mean? Well, you recognize what there is to learn from the failure, and then you move on, right? You get on to the next thing where you have an opportunity to do something that's going to be, hopefully, have a more positive outcome.
Yeah, that's a great point, Bob. And I'm glad that you worked so hard together.
Exactly.
Next week with Two Guys on Your Head, we'll talk about writer's block with Drs. Art Markman and Bob Duke. To check out this and other episodes of Two Guys, find videos with Art and Bob, and more information on any of the topics we've discussed, go to KUT.org. And be sure to follow us on Twitter. We're at the number 2, G-O-Y-H. As always, we'd love to know what you think about the show and find out what you're curious about. Email us anytime at twoguys@KUT.org. Two Guys on Your Head is produced at KUT Radio in Austin, Texas. For KUT, I'm Rebecca McEnroy.